All right. I need to talk to the First Communion children. So I need you all to behave yourselves while I'm not looking. Okay? Okay. I'm expecting you to behave well over there. While I talk to these four young men and this one young woman. And they look lovely and handsome today. Lovely in her beautiful white dress, and the gentlemen in their white shirts and ties, and some have even opted for a coat. And there's a couple of men in the church that I see in coats today. I think that has more to do with the thermostat than their reverence for Almighty God, but that's okay. Whatever it takes. You look happy. Your parents, your teachers, your relatives are all smiling with joy. They're very, very proud of you. They want you to keep a wonderful memory of this day by taking pictures. So after Mass, I'm going to stay up here. I won't be greeting folks in the narthex, so we can take a picture together, and then maybe family groups can gather for a few moments to take family pictures as well. After the announcements, I'm going to ask your parents, godparents, grandparents, nieces, nephews, uncles, cousins, whoever's here, and who is going to bring you a gift this morning. Maybe it's a Bible, maybe it's a rosary, a prayer book, whatever precious gift it is, to just simply hold it up, and I will bless those after the announcements. Those are called sacramentals, and they help lead us to the sacraments, and the sacraments lead us to Jesus. I am very proud of you as well. I know that you're probably a little nervous, but I think it's mostly excitement about receiving your first Holy Communion on this very, very special day. My question is, why are we all so happy today? And why do we celebrate this day as maybe the most important day of your life? Now, I don't know how much world history you all have taken, but one of these days in school, you will take world history, European history, and you will learn about a man named Napoleon Bonaparte. He was an emperor of the French Empire, and he worked diligently, day and night, to try to conquer most of the countries in Europe. And in fact, he wanted to be emperor of the whole world. Now, he was emperor of the French Empire from 1804 to 1814, and then again for a short term in 1815. Now, I can assure you, I'm not old enough to have been there. But, perfect. Oh, they're good and they're paying attention. Father Mario was. Somebody asked Napoleon Bonaparte a question. What was the most important day in your life? They expected answers like the day of his coronation as emperor, or his royal wedding, or the days of many famous victories. But instead he said, the most important and the most memorable day of my life was the day of my First Communion. Wow. Now, he didn't end up being the nicest guy in the world, okay? But it still stuck in his head. And I hope, in his heart, although I can't always know another man's heart, that that was the most important day of his life. And that's what I'm saying to you. This should be and remain the happiest and most memorable day of your life. So, why is it so happy? Why is it a happy day? It is because you are receiving the biggest celebrity. Now, do you all know celebrities? You know, people on TV, people with bling, people who sing and dance and are in movies. You know what a celebrity is? Well, the biggest celebrity in all of the universe, Jesus, our God and Savior, is going to be the honored guest at our Lord's Supper this morning. And he's also the honored guest in your heart and in your lives in a very special way on this day of your first communion. It means somebody very, very important. Like I said, not just the king of Europe, not just the king of the world, the king of the universe is coming to stay with you, to bless you, to protect you, and to guide you. That is why we're having all these very special celebrations. Over 100 years ago, and again, I'm not nearly that old, but I have been told that over 100 years ago, a young girl in northern France made her first communion. She had prepared for it. She was looking forward to it with great excitement. The day finally came, and this is how she described the first time she received Jesus in the sacrament of the Mass. She writes, "I felt that I was loved, so loved. And I said to Jesus, I love you, and I give myself to you forever. It was a fusion," she said. "Jesus and I were no longer two. I had vanished in him as a drop of water vanishes into the ocean, and Jesus alone remained." The next time you go to Galveston or down to Freeport, I want you to take just a little bit of water and dribble it into the surf, into the ocean, into the Gulf of Mexico. And then I want you to look down there and see if you can find those little drops. They completely go into the ocean as we are absorbed into the life of Jesus. She ended her description of her first communion by recalling the joy she felt that day, the joy she experienced every time from then on that she received Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. Today, that little girl is one of the most famous saints of the Catholic Church, Saint Teresa, or Therese, of Lisieux. She illustrates that joy flows from the certainty of being infinitely loved by God. And every time we receive the Eucharist, we receive a living reminder of God's love for us. We too can say, "I know I am loved." And that certainty of being loved by Jesus brings a joy that nothing in this world can take away, because I am safe in the palms of the hands of the King of the universe. The next question is, how does Jesus come into our hearts? Jesus comes to our hearts in the form of consecrated bread and wine. Now this morning, will you see Jesus in the host? Will you look down and have Jesus look back at you? No. Can you taste Jesus or touch Jesus or smell Jesus in the host of the Holy Eucharist? No. Then why do we believe? Why do we believe that we are receiving Jesus in this Holy Communion? It's very simple, my friends. It's because Jesus said so. And when the King of the universe tells you something, you better pay very special attention. When the King of the universe says, I will be there in what you are doing. This is my body. This is my blood. You really gotta pay very special attention. So Jesus is really and truly present in the consecrated host and in the consecrated wine. Now, because you all are in masks this morning and we're still trying to keep people from getting sick from this pandemic, as they call it, you won't receive the cup for a while. But nobody is except the priest. But soon, I pray, soon, we'll have a vaccine and you'll be able to receive both the host and the sacred chalice. Ever since Jesus' resurrection on Easter Sunday, Jesus has had what we call a glorified body. In Holy Communion, we are receiving that glorified body of Jesus. That is why we cannot see or touch or taste Jesus' human body and blood when we receive Holy Communion. But by his promise and by faith, we know he is there. So some people would ask, well, why does Jesus come in simple bread and simple wine, as food and as drink? Well, you know, there is a very simple reason. We cannot live many days without eating or drinking. Have you ever been hungry? Really hungry? Really, really, really hungry? So hungry that you bugged mom or dad while they were trying to fix dinner? Now, if you're the firstborn child, they will tell you, go away. Dinner will be ready in a little while. If you're the secondborn child, mom or dad will look at you when you're bugging them about supper and say, hey, your older sister or brother was this hungry and it didn't kill them, so it won't kill you. Go away. But if you're the third child or fourth or fifth or sixth, your mom and dad will look at you and say, go outside and eat dirt. I'll be ready in 15 minutes. Well, that's what happens when you're the third born. We can't go for very long without eating or drinking. Food and drink are essential to the life of our bodies. In that very same way, spiritual food is essential to our souls. Just as food and drink are essential to our body, spiritual food and spiritual drink are essential to the life of our souls. And the food for our souls is the body and blood of Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said that we would be spiritually dead if we don't eat his body and drink his blood. And there's a whole chapter of the Gospel of John dedicated to that concept of Jesus' bread and wine in the Eucharist, bringing us life and not receiving or not believing leads only to death. You receive Jesus in Holy Communion every time you participate in the Holy Mass. And you have to receive Jesus after asking his pardon and forgiveness for your sins. I think you've all been recently to the sacrament of reconciliation, or we old timers call it confession. You've been to confession recently, and then you receive it this morning with great reverence and respect. And then there's a final question. What will you do after receiving Jesus in Holy Communion? Well, first of all, you invite Jesus into your heart. Then you have to thank Jesus for coming into your heart. That's why we go back, we kneel down, and we thank Jesus for coming into our heart. And then you tell God about all your needs and the needs that you know of your parents, your relatives, your teachers, your friends. And then finally, like the gospel that Deacon Angelich read this morning, you've got to take the gifts that you have been given and go back into the world and make a difference in your home, in your school, on the playground, everywhere you go. Just as Jesus' mother Mary carried Jesus in her tummy when she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, you are now going to have Jesus inside you, and you need to carry him wherever you go. It means that we have to try to behave very well, because we've got God inside of us. He'll be in your heart and in your soul. And he wants you to take the gifts that he has given you and go into the world and use them for his kingdom, for his church, and for his glory. That means you got to think before you open your mouth. You got to think before you do something, like push your little brother. You know, those kind of things. Or be mean to somebody at school. You got to think first. Because Jesus wants you to take what he has put inside you to help you to be a good girl. And for you boys to be good boys. To be good students. To be very well behaved, as you have been through this long homily. And Jesus wants you to be an obedient son or daughter. So, this moment, in closing, I would like to thank everyone, parents, teachers, everybody who has prepared these and these boys to receive their first Holy Communion. And I want to remind the parents of these children that it is how you live and how you practice your faith in the family that is going to influence your children. When I hear the confession of a child under 16, and they say, "Bless me, Father, for I've sinned. It's been a year since my last confession, and I haven't gone to Mass every Sunday." I look at them and I go, "How old are you?" "I'm 14. Do you have a driver's license?" "No. Do you have a car? No. Do you live close enough to the church to walk there? Not. Mommy or Daddy won't let me walk that far alone. Well then, that's not your sin. That's your parents' sin. Now, and then I tell them, after you turn 16, and you're going everywhere in the world with a fancy new car or borrowing mama's new car or whatever, yes, I'm going to come down on you like a load of bricks if you don't come to church on Sunday morning. But before you turn 16, parents, your children need to be at Mass. They need to grow in their faith, and that faith needs to be fed into their lives, that they grow more and more each day, each week. These children are going to learn the most about what it means to be a Christian and how you live and how you practice your faith in the family, and that is going to influence your children all of their lives. So, parents, godparents, grandparents, continue to train them in the Christian faith and its practice, not by just advice. You know that old thing, do as I say and not as I do thing? It doesn't work. Trust me. I'm the parent of two sons. You need to ask Mom and Dad how that could happen, okay? I'm the parent of two sons. Oh, that do as I say and not as I do thing didn't always work. Parents, you must try as best you can to live an exemplary life in Christ Jesus, to be a model for your children. May God bless these young people, and may God bless their parents, their families, and their friends this day and forever. Amen.